It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. And so please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. And while you're opening your Bibles to that, I'd share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And you can find about 1,500 studies there, and our plan of salvation is presented there very clearly, and also our Constitution is there. So if you would please that you would enjoy looking through that, but especially the studies that you can come to know and then come to grow in the Lord Jesus. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So let's begin the study, and we'll start the reading here, Acts chapter 3. And we're going to begin with the first verse. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. We're going to end with that eighth verse there, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful text, the miracles that you continue to perform today. The greatest miracle, of course, is the new birth, to be born again, to take our sins away, to set us free, and enjoy the precious walk with you. So please show us your way and will through this text today. I thank you for your precious word. Touch every heart, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find, as we spoke there earlier concerning Peter and John going up to the temple during the hour of prayer, they were still following many of the things of the Jewish tradition. We are to pray continually. We do not need to necessarily go into a certain place to do that, and yet they were still it was a transitional period here. It is very important that you come into the house of God and do not miss the time of fellowship that we have in growing together. The Lord tells us very clearly not to forsake the assembling, and so as some do. And so please that you do have a church home and enjoy that. But here they're still kind of following the traditions of their religion that they had before they were born again. And then they find this man, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, this verse 2, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That was a location where there were many folks that would come by, and he would ask them for money, for alms. And it's the only livelihood that he had. You know, at that time, they didn't have all the welfare and things that we have today. And someone, probably a family member, was kind enough to carry him, as it says, carry him to this location, and at that location then every day he would sit there and plead for people to throw them a penny in our money, or a quarter, or just a little something so that I can eat, so that I can survive. And so that was the only means that he had. And so we find here in verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. And so we find here that, number one, he was born that way. He was born that way. And so it's such a joy to see that how the Lord is about to perform this miracle. And so it's just a joy. So pleased that you enjoy it with me. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, and so he was desiring that. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And so we find here that the joy of salvation comes when the Word of God is proclaimed and the Spirit of God draws you. When a sinner is drawn to the Spirit of God, convicts him or her of her sin, and then the Lord gives us faith to trust in him. All this is done by God, and then we have an opportunity to live a life born again, saved. And so just because you've always been in church, you're a very religious individual, I don't care what church denomination that you're a part of, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. And this is how it's taken care of. When the Holy Spirit convicts your heart because you have heard the Word of God, we're proclaiming the Word of God today, so please that you listen to that. And that's when you enter into this wonderful miracle of the new birth, and that is the greatest miracle. We're going to see a miracle here where this man jumps up and leaps and enters into the temple with Peter and John, but the greater than that is the miracle of the new birth, being born again. So, you know, please do not say, you know, I'll be saved when I'm ready to be saved, but not right now. Please, please, please do not say that. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved when you hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit calls you. Please do not refuse at that time. Listen very, very carefully and prayerfully to the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not a fire insurance policy against the flames of hell. Salvation is God's gift to man. We can go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." What happens when you get saved? Many times others around you are saved as well. This man, as we look at verse 3, back to chapter Acts chapter 3, verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. And so this poor man was not only lame, but he was also a beggar. And that's the only way that he had in surviving, begging for alms as folks passed by. And do you realize that all unbelievers are beggars? Let's go to Matthew. He said, wait a minute here, I don't know Jesus and I'm not a beggar. You will be. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. We'll even start at 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profitable if he will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to their works." according to their works. Now, they may be worth millions in this world, but let's look at Luke chapter 16. So we find concerning saving and losing your life, Luke 16, verse 19. This one you've heard many times. We've read it many, many times. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, a very, very wealthy man. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This is Lazarus. This is the beggar. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You see, there's a little bit of difference there when you're born again. The angels carry us home. The rich man, the lost man, the unbeliever, was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father. Now you notice that Abraham called him son, and here the rich man calls him father. That means that this rich man was a Jew. He was a religious man. That thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. That's the only option, heaven or hell. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And when he speaks of that, Moses is the first five books of our Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the books of Moses. So that's what Abraham said. He said, you got the books of Moses. And then he also said, you got all the prophets as well. You got the prophets as well. You got all those folks telling you about the Lord Jesus, and you rejected it. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, if that's not begging, I don't know what is. That rich man was begging Abraham. He begged him more than once. Unbelievers will be beggars. We're not only beggars, but unbelievers are also lame and blind. A multimillionaire, 1 minute, and the next minute, unable to purchase a little drop of water to ease his torment. That's what we've just read in Luke. From a multimillionaire, and not a minute, but a second, he is unable to purchase even a drop of water. will you please come to the Lord Jesus Christ? All believers are beggars, and if you don't believe it, you will be seconds after you die. Seconds after you die. Back to Acts. This man here was lame from his birth, but he also is a beggar. Certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. That's the second verse of chapter 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They fastened their eyes upon him. They looked at him steadfastly. They took time to see the need that this man has. I hope that we do the same. We need to realize the need that a lost person has, no matter how good they seem to be or how evil they seem to be. We need to give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We hand them that gift. Now, it's up to them of what they do with it. If they want to trust in the Lord Jesus and be born again, we praise the Lord and we say hallelujah. But if they choose to reject that gift, then the only thing they have is compared to this rich man here that we read back in Luke chapter 16. So they fastened their eyes on him. They looked up on him in a strange, strong way. Doing that, they saw him for what he really was. They took time to look at this man, to realize he's lame, he's helpless, needing. His need was for more than money could provide. And we need to see the same thing, because many times folks are very wealthy. They've got all the money they need. They have all the things that they need. But the one that they really need is Jesus. And we need to recognize that. And we need to focus on those folks and prayerfully give them the word of God. Tell them Jesus died on the cross to save you. We need to do the same. We need to give the time. Seeing unbelievers for what they are, blind and helpless. All sinners are blind. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, could shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus Christ. Please, that you listen to that call. Listen to that call. Let's also go to Romans, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when we look at that word death, the wages of sin is death. That means total separation from God. And when you are totally separated from God, you have the influence of God right now if you're still taking a breath. But the day that you stop breathing and leave this life, you will find what is present in the absence of God. And what is present in the absence of God is hellfire. Constant pain, constant suffering. That's what you have to look forward to if you choose not to receive the gift of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verse 15. Find Hebrews, and right behind Hebrews, you're going to find James. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then, let me just back up just a little bit. We're going to look at verse 13. We'll start there. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's all the world has to offer. John, Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And now if we'll go over to verse 34, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there is yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They were concerned because, as we find, the woman saith unto her, Sir, hast thou nothing to draw with? The well is deep. From hence then hast thou that living water? And this wonderful conversation goes on. And again, as we read already in verse 14, the Lord Jesus gave her the opportunity of salvation. I am that living water, Jesus said. But when the disciples came back, they were concerned that he had not eaten. And then had somebody else brought you food? And the Lord Jesus makes it very clear that there's something much more important than the things of this world, and that is to give out the gospel. And he's telling them, will you look around? There's an awful lot of lost people around here. Will you look around? And will you get busy and give out that gospel? Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful verses of Scripture. Let's look up Proverbs. Go to the Old Testament. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Psalms, then you're going to find Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We need to get to work. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then you're going to find Daniel. Chapter 12, verse 3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Oh, we have an opportunity to shine brightly, not with pride, not with arrogance, but with the joy of our God pleasing him, working for him, taking out the precious gospel. Now, if we come back here to Acts, we're going to find that who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple ask alms, and Peter fastening his eyes up on him, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. How many people came by him? How many people walked through that paid no attention? But Peter and John did. And Peter and John spoke with a voice that got his attention, that gave heed to them. Look on us. They had something greater, as it says in the next verses, "Silver and gold I have none." Well, that's what he wanted. But they had something much greater than that to give him. And that's the salvation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. We need to have that kind of witness and testimony, that when we speak with a voice of authority, but we also speak with great compassion, that when people look to us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." We are our epistle. In other words, we are the written witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at my life. Look at me. And I hope and I pray that you see Jesus. We find back here in Acts chapter 3, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Again, maybe it was his voice. Somehow or other, they got his attention. He thought he was going to receive something. Alms, gold, silver, something that he could buy to support himself. Because you see, he is lame. He can't walk. He can't move. Somebody had to carry him to this gate. We should speak with power, with authority, again, but with great compassion. What we say and what we do should back up what's in our heart. If you know the Lord Jesus, you should be giving such a witness and testimony. This man could have looked up, he could have ignored them and said, "You know, I'm not interested in you. Just give me what you have. Give me alms. That's all I want. I don't want to spend time talking to you. I don't want to spend time. Give me money. That's all I want." But he didn't do that. He listened. He paid attention. Then Peter spoke these words, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He gave him the gift of healing, the gift of power, the gift of strength, but he also gave him faith. When faith come into his heart, he looked to them, he saw something, and he trusted in them. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. We'll start there next time. It's so important, my dear friend, that our witness and our testimony It's important what we say. It's important what we do. Please shine your light for the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?